Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gork.
And we just watched Wynonna Earp, Season 3, Episode 9, Undo It, which is apparently a Carrie Underwood song.
Yes, I know some of her work. That one I'm not familiar with.
I'm not either.
I don't know what.
I'm sure there are Spotify and other playlists out there that are just building up as each episode drops. Or maybe it has all of them because I think all the episode titles are actually out in the wild.
Yes. Yeah.
I just haven't looked. I don't like to know episode titles before.
Sometimes they give away too much.
Yep.
It's true. I don't like reading the descriptions either.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, especially not way in advance. Maybe I'd read the next week's description, but not too far out because they give stuff away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I don't like to know. Mm-hmm. And before we go too much farther, our CJP also has a sign for me with a reminder to tell anybody in the Edmonton area, we are going to be at Edmonton Expo doing a live Erp Chirp recording on Sunday, September 23rd at 3:15 in room 101. So if you are attending the Edmonton Expo, please come and see us and
come
say hi.
Ask us questions.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about all the Albertan specific stuff that you notice or don't notice.
Or have questions about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just random weird questions that we won't be.
Yep.
We won't prepare for it because we never prepare, homework. And you can see what we'll say.
We don't prepare. That's what would be on our business cards if we bothered to prepare business cards, which we don't.
No,
that's too much preparation.
Exactly. Yep.
We spend too much time preparing in our real life jobs that, you know.
Uh-huh. Yep. We don't need it here.
This is just purely for fun.
Speaking of real life versus not real life, I love this episode so much.
I thought the whole creepy doc floaty face thing, like the Wizard of Oz, was amazing.
Oh my God, what a genius way to realize something. Like, I could picture reading a book and having this described to me in the book and thinking, meh, that's unfilmable. Can't do that.
Yeah.
But how else would you have the two of them?
It, oh, yeah. Just like, not unfilmable. You are geniuses.
Right? Mm-hmm. That shot where she was like sitting in between his eyes.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh,
leaning on the wall.
And yeah. My favorite was when it was his face around the, I don't know if that was like the furnace or the safe or something like that in the back.
Oh, in the basement of Shorty's.
Yes. Where like you can see his eyes, but you can't actually see much of his nose or his mouth. And there's this like giant round opening that looks like he's just screaming all the time.
Yes. Oh, that was very clever.
So eerie.
Mm-hmm. And then him trapped underneath floorboards with dirt sprinkling down on him, knowing that as a child he crawled under the house to be closer to his mom when she was dying of either pneumonia or tuberculosis.
I think it was tuberculosis.
So she's dying of it. They won't let him near. So he crawled under the floorboards of the house and just listened to her be in pain and cried. And that's what Bolshar has brought back. He's trapped under floorboards with dirt filtering down on top of him.
Unable to move
in a tight space, which he's hated ever since he was a kid. And the well thing made it much worse. Like, Bolshar is a...
He's got game. Respect his evil game.
It's like so slow too. Like, he has so much patience because even something like this, it's just slow torture.
It is.
Yeah. What did Doc say that the point of it was pain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the point of it, like, that's the point of it.
Yeah.
Or revenge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that whole technique allowed them to talk and interact while not being in the same room and not being together. So it's like you're so close to being together, but she can see that slowly more and more dirt. It adds pressure.
Yeah. Yep.
She's got to find him. She doesn't know where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how else could you have like, otherwise it would just been her talking to herself. And I think that adds a lot more drama to it as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fun for us to watch having the two of them, but it's also, I think, more emotionally manipulative to have the both of them there. It's like so close, but you can't actually save either one of
you. You can't do anything.
Yeah. And I mean, that's another thing too, is that all the way along we've had Doc, who really wants to be a hero, wants to be a good guy. And he doesn't really do, he's not very effective. He doesn't kill a lot of bad guys. He doesn't do a lot of saving.
Can't do nothing.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. again, he is literally paralyzed while Winona, the one whom, you know, he loves, is out there and able to move and try to do things. And even she can't do anything at this point. And it's just so while it's torture for him to be stuck there and waiting, it's also extra torture for him to constantly be being shown up.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And to be worried about her, too, right?
Yeah. 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 All of that at the same time. The human mind is capable of holding so many different emotions and thoughts. And I feel like Bolshar is a master of layering them like a fine cake.
An evil, evil cake.
An evil cake. Like green goo for frosting.
Even his movements, though, they're so minimal. Like everything about him, it's like he's so minimal. He just shows up and fades in and out. Mm-hmm. And yet
there was a moment where Winona
so much presence.
Shot him with Peacemaker. And I swear it was almost like his cape was like flapping ever so slightly in the breeze, being like, ah, nice try.
Yeah. He got two bullet holes in his cape and that was it.
Yeah.
And except for the time that he pretended to die, where he sort of, mm-hmm. you know, did the bat flabby away dissolvey thing. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It was in the vision, in the not real. So yep. It still feels like it still doesn't tell us if Peacemaker would have an effect on him or not. He just wants her to think it doesn't.
That could be true.
And he needed it. So mm-hmm. if he let anything away that it did have an effect on him, she would
have held on longer.
I think so. Yeah.
Yep. Now I want to jump back to the beginning of all of this fakeness, because the very first shot we get of Doc and Winona in the barn.
I'm so happy for a moment. Aww.
I noticed the difference in the way that the camera looked, and I'm sure there are specific technical terms for it, but it was like a little bit of a off focus, like cheesecake-y.
Soft focus.
Yeah, it was almost like they put an Instagram filter on it.
Cheesecloth, yes. Like old fashioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that soft filter, warm. Kind of, which could have been, you know, it's a little romantic
could
and
have been.
Stuff.
Yeah,
but
they've buried the hatchet. Yep.
But then just the fact that it's suddenly the two of them in bed together, I just feel like the only reason that I didn't buy that, not that I didn't think that they could fall into bed together, but I thought that this show, that I feel like we have a contract, this show and us as viewers. Mm-hmm. I feel like the show would have given us the sweet, sexy build-up to that, to yes. watch them fall into bed, as opposed to the after effect.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, the show would not break that contract with us, so it must be a dream.
Well, and I think we all were like, wait, what? It just felt out of place and sudden. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. It was all very lovely. Mm-hmm. I still didn't get it, though, until the camera turned around and they were in the clothes. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait, they're in their clothes. Oh,
I didn't trust it for a second. I hated not trusting it, but I was like,
me too.
I just wanted it to be.
It can't be.
But it was weird.
But the thing I want to point out about it is that even though I wasn't trusting it and I knew it wasn't real, I had a feeling that I think ended up being right, that they're still themselves. They're being like... and manipulated in their minds to think that they're in a different place and that other things have happened. But I still think that the things that they said and the things that they did while they were in that situation were more true to who they were than the stuff that they did and said when they were on like Jolene biscuits.
Yes.
You know I would agree with that.
Well, yep. At the end too, when she says to Doc, oh yeah, we couldn't have been in bed together.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. He's like, no, it doesn't make any sense at all. By which he meant,
yeah,
I'm really sad. I wish it were true. Right.
Don't give up on me.
But not even just the being in bed, like the things they were saying to each other. Winona saying, you know, I'm still mad at you for being a vampire and for, you know, giving in to Kate and all that kind of stuff. Like that's real stuff that she feels. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was able to express it in this sort of more gentle, but I still love you kind of way, and the fact that Doc, we had, you know, from the wall saying that he would never he would always fight for her, whatever, never give up, and when he gets out of it for you know, I didn't make a deal with Bolshar, all that kind of stuff, I feel like those are all real sentiments that have now been expressed, and it seems like they remember all of the crap that they went through. So I mean, I think part of this episode was helping mend the bridge and the gap between Doc and Winona, because they were forced to work together
Also in that vulnerable place.
Yeah.
So that they probably wouldn't have had, it would have taken them a lot longer to get to those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long has Doc held back on telling her about talking to Bolshar, the deal he turned down? That was the second or third episode. Mm-hmm. No, maybe the fourth.
But I mean, it was a while back and he hadn't said anything about it.
Yeah.
So joke's on you, Bolshar. It was actually kind of helpful, sort of.
It was. He emotionally manipulated them, but in doing so, he sort of emotionally manipulated them together a little bit better. So I will be interested to see the fallout of this, how Doc and Wynonna interact in the real world, because they are still going to remember probably having all of these warm feelings and feelings of protectiveness and love.
Mm-hmm.
And having just come out of that, even knowing that like it was forced upon them, it didn't feel like it was unreal.
The situation was forced on them. I don't think those conversations were forced
exactly.
on them.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. And I love this type of story. Like I love The Matrix. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. You know, not anything that sort of messes with the nature of reality. Like Dark City is another example of that. So this had some of that. I also freaking love Groundhog Day. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And that movie, Groundhog Day, is super dark when you actually think about it. Sure, it's a light, fluffy comedy and there's a romance in there. But if you watch it closely and think about the consequences of like all of the stuff that's happening, that is one of the darkest movies ever made. And I felt like this leaned into the obviousness of the darkness of Wynonna getting killed and killing Bobo over and over and over again and all of the hash marks and stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
how even her despair though when she was crawling on the floor up the stairs at the end, it was like she was so done, and then she got her shit together when she suddenly appears in front of Bolshar and still actually puts up a pretty good, almost successful fight.
Kind of sort of, and even with her and Bobo, that scene where they're lying, they both stabbed each other, she's bleeding out,
and they're holding,
hands, but she's giving the finger.
I think it was Bobo
someone's
flipping the bird.
Yep.
But you know, she was still trying to convince him that they could do it together, and I mean who knows how long Bolshar has had him.
Yeah, well, this whole season since
Christmas, so that's a 3 episodes now
ish. Yeah, so that's like it's a long time,
and it probably feels like a lot longer being in Bullshot Land.
Yeah, he said that too, doesn't he? He said it could be an eternity before they find you.
Yes,
which could be a minute in real life, right?
Time runs differently inside
when
your
you're being tortured
mind.
Well, and that end was so tense when you can hear Waverly and Doc's voices coming from the graves, and you know, you can see them cutting, getting to them.
Yep.
And I think I even said out loud going, this show, they are total, she's going to give up the gun 2 seconds before they rescue her. Cause that's the show that this is. They're not going to necessarily have that
trial
rescue just in time. No, we're going to give him the gun and have to deal with the fallout from that.
And you were right.
Yes.
Yeah, you called it.
You were,
but it just made it so tense, because otherwise a lot of times you watch a show like this and you're like, oh yeah, whatever, they'll get her, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be in the nick of time. They don't always do that in this show, which just makes it more exciting.
Yeah,
also just like the double edge of those screams.
Yes,
Wynonna is hearing them thinking they're being tortured.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's really them are, you know, they're being tortured by the fact that somebody they love is trapped in a bunch of trees and brush and they need to get them out.
And they're in some sort of stupor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they were all trying to get her to not do the thing that she was doing, but the way that she was interpreting it from her perspective made it that was the only choice, because Wynonna loves them.
Yeah.
And she will sacrifice anything to save her friends, her family. And that's what she thought she needed to do.
The gun's going to find a way back to her, because that's a sentient gun. I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
Yep.
Also, someone's got to climb those damn stairs.
I know.
Right? I just would have been like, what do you mean you can't go up the stairs?
I was hoping Waverly would just drop right up.
Divide and conquer, guys.
She's got the ring on.
Well, yeah. Then, yeah. Her father's ring, possibly, as Bobo said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bow to you guys who said that having Bobo out of the well was going to be a great thing in terms of moving plot forward and giving us information.
Also giving us another great fur coat.
Yeah, yeah. He obviously had time between getting out of the well and being kidnapped.
Like, where is
to
this,
get
this, like,
slightly dressed? No haircut.
Of various fur coats as well.
He probably goes to, like, the thrift store. No. The antique,
you guys,
store.
I bet Bobo has stashes all over the Ghost River Triangle.
Various fur coats.
Yes.
Like, so that, go bags.
No, what,
but they're fur coats.
Whatever happens to him, wherever he is, he can crawl to, like, you know, a cache, like buried under, you know, the foundation of an old house that fell down. And then there's one that's in a hollow tree.
In a cairn.
And
then I'm imagining under a cairn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you are wandering around southern Alberta and you come across just like a weird looking rock or something, peek underneath there. You might find a fur coat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Winter is coming.
Well, and he did have like over 100 years to build this stash up.
Start collecting early and you can have coats.
He killed
everywhere.
A lot of beavers back in the day.
Yeah, he may have made many of those coats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's entirely possible. Well, talking about back to Peacemaker and the stairs and stuff, interesting that Wynonna couldn't see the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if Doc did. He didn't say anything one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Nicole and Jeremy and Waverly obviously all did. And mm-hmm. Robin didn't see it back. Or did he?
I can't remember. I feel like they both did, but then it disappeared on them, maybe.
I feel like he might not have seen it, but Jeremy did. And he was explaining about it. And he's like, no, I don't think I saw it.
Oh, so maybe it has something to do with, like,
maybe you have to be gay to see it. No, but
Robin's gay.
Robin is gay. Yep.
Maybe. No, but I think, did someone say something about the righteous?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I like that Jeremy's pure little superpower is coming into play.
Yes.
Yeah,
which
just
he only revealed
last episode. It was the last episode that he can tell when his friends are really scared.
Which is a hard superpower to have.
Yeah. But it made him the perfect bloodhound to track them down. I mean, if not for that, considering how much space they probably had to cover, I don't think that they would have been able to find them without actually going and finding a real bloodhound. And, you know, giving the dog something to sniff.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough dogs in this show. I feel like we need more dogs.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. But yeah, that's the whole staircase thing. And I didn't even put together that staircase and then the tower card.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me at all.
Of course, stairs go up a tower. Yes. Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. So I'm excited about sort of putting
that
together.
I know, because it's probably going to reveal and we'll get a tower at some point. So Lord of the Rings.
Hey, they got a helicopter in the last season.
Yeah,
so
we can have a tower.
Who knows? Totally have a tower.
I was like, no, I cannot think of stone towers
in Alberta
that they could use as filming sets.
Probably not.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no castles sitting around here.
Nope. The other really exciting thing we got back was Danny Kind as Mercedes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy. That whole, the last thing we saw of her was lying in the hospital.
With no face
and all wrapped up. And I just found that incredibly dissatisfying to leave her lying there with no face. And I felt worried. And so knowing she's gone all over the world trying to repair her face.
Which makes perfect sense when you think about it.
Yep.
It's the kind of thing she would do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even if she had had something very minor go wrong with her face, she strikes me as the kind of person who would have just gone everywhere looking to try to fix it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because she feels the same and yet a little bit different, because the Mercedes we mostly saw last summer or last season was the fake Mercedes.
Yeah, faux Mercedes.
So,
that's true.
Yeah. So it's like, you're not quite the same character.
Yeah, she's got a bit of an edge, which, you know, having your face stolen and being
and
walking.
It seems a little edgier than she was in the opening of when we first actually met that Mercedes.
She was the fun bitch.
Yeah. I don't think she's the fun bitch anymore. I think she's got gone through some shit.
She really has.
I did enjoy her line, squatters got a squat.
Yeah,
squatters
got a
squat. She's like, I wasn't here, so.
Mm-hmm. Very practical.
I am looking forward to when she meets her squatter.
Yeah.
Kate kind of went off on her
stagecoat last episode.
So is she gone?
What?
Gone? She
that's
can't be
true.
Gone.
That's a good point. She's talking about catching a Stagecoach.
A stagecoach.
I was very concerned that they were going to leave us at the end with a stinger of Mercedes going like, oh my God, Waverly, you fixed me, you saved me, whatever. And then Kate coming in and just like eating her. I'm very glad that is not how it ended.
Yeah, no.
But I wouldn't have put it past this.
Right? Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. Like having her face fixed by Waverly, apparently.
So she doesn't just melt faces, she fixes them. Too. Yep.
I also really appreciated the editing at the end there where we have Waverly with Winona and she whips off the oven mitt. She's like, I can't get this off. It's Bulshar's ring, except maybe it's not. She never did tell Winona.
She didn't tell her. Nope.
That it's her dad's ring because they got on a tangent with Bobo. But anyway, she's just like, you know, no, I melted faces. I can't. And it just, I can't control it. And it, what did she say? It always hurts somebody or it never helps anyone. I can't help anyone. And then like smash cut to Danny Kind starting to rip off of her bandages. And sure enough, like I had that memory. As soon as I saw Waverly touching the side of her face, I was like, oh, maybe the ring's going to help. Maybe it'll do something. And it did.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
I feel that. I kind of thought that too, but then nothing happened in the moment. So it was a little, it was a long payoff.
Yep. And it still could be a much longer payoff because we have no idea if Mercedes is going to go run and tell them or if she's just going to go off to the bar and get shit-faced. And
you, Mercedes.
Right? You kind of deserve it.
Absolutely. Right? Yep. So it might be one of those things that they learn as an afterthought when they run into her in town again at some point. And, you know, Waverly's still wearing the oven mitt.
The Niagara Falls oven mitt.
Yes.
I do hope that she comes up with a more stylish option than that. But you do need big gloves for a ring that size.
That's true.
At this point, maybe that's the most practical option. Yep. What else do we have? We had the friends all working together to find Winona and Doc.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of effort to get the ring off.
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yes. Some. We thought we were getting a hot and heavy sex scene. I didn't, but
I didn't.
I was suspicious. It was
it was too obvious.
Yeah.
They got me with the shower scene in season two with the decam. Oh, and never again. No. I know better.
Fool you once.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All sex scenes right at the beginning of the episode, including the Doc and Winona. Exactly. This time, they're fake.
Yep. Especially when they start with a voiceover.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't trust
it. Well, and they said lube. So then it was actually say that if it was sex. They're doing something else.
Yep. But then even I have to say I was impressed that even when we cut into, I was expecting they're going to show us what's happening and it's going to be like, wah, wah. That's not what you were thinking. But no, when they cut to it, they actually showed their foreheads really close together and then still breathing heavy and being like, it's getting close. And I was like, okay, I still did not think that they were getting it on, but I was much more intrigued at that point about what was really happening. And then I was like, oh, right. The ring.
The ring that will not be cut, will not be lubed.
Not even with a scary cutty thing.
No. From a demon named Derek.
Derek. Please stop saying Derek. So he's not dead. He just got his face melted a little.
Yeah. He certainly didn't look like he went back
to
hell.
She did not send him to hell.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And I mean, I wonder if maybe if she would have kept going, if that would have eventually happened or if that had to be a peacemaker thing. I don't know. But I feel like he's kind of my favorite style of demon. He's like, he's the guy who has a profession and, you know.
And it's a little seedy.
Yeah. And he does his work.
He's sort of helpful.
And he's just kind of schlubby. And he only really, like, you know, demons out when there's something super important going on. Because otherwise, he just wants to get by.
Mm-hmm,
But in this case, he needs to pay fealty to Bulshar.
Everybody is, like, crazy for Bulshar.
Yep. So he's like, fine. You know, don't make me do this. And he's got, like, electricity.
Yep.
In his
hands. He said his fingers could cut diamonds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it makes sense what profession he went into.
Yep.
Come in handy.
Yeah, I like that. He's a practical demon. It's my style.
Yeah.
And he's still around, so maybe we'll get some more Derek later on.
Yeah. He's going to want revenge for his face.
Or he still wants that ring. He's going to still be creepily obsessed.
Could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on? Like there, I feel like there are probably at least five other things I observed during the whole spooky Matrix. Like it reminded me of the Zygon two-parter from Doctor Who, which if you've seen, you might
remember.
What about the Leroy Jenkins Clara. Joke?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I left
we
so hard.
We learned something.
Yeah, we had to pause, learn about memes.
Yeah. I don't remember the, like, it's been a long time since I've actually watched Leroy Jenkins, but I love it. It was in, I'm pretty sure it was World of Warcraft, and it's an online multiplayer game, and there's this group of people, this team, this guild, who were getting all ready to do a raid, and they had like these elaborate plans that they were trying to get set out. Like, you know, you got to plan these things very carefully if you mm-hmm. want them to work. You know, you got to have your wizards hang back and your tanks are going to go up front, and like, it's important. And I don't know if it was taking too long or if it was confusing or whatever, but this guy, who I think his name was Leroy Jenkins, just decides to, as they get started, or maybe before they get started, just run into the room where the big bad guys are and just shouting his name, Leroy Jenkins. And everybody's like, oh shit, it's happening. So like, they try to go into the battle and they get slaughtered because Leroy Jenkins just goes in and gets his head handed to him. And it became mm-hmm. an internet sensation a few years back. You know, memes don't last that long.
No. Nope.
But it still comes up every now and then. And Annette, as you pointed out, Winona's,
they like, they're slightly dated
references.
Some yeah. of them very dated.
So this yes. was right along with that. And it made me incredibly happy. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of wondering, like, where did Winona learn about that? But maybe Jeremy taught her, because Jeremy would absolutely
oh, Jeremy
know
would,
about
yes,
Leroy Jenkins.
Would, yeah.
Maybe they all play D&D or World of Warcraft mm-hmm. in their downtime,
because they have so much of that.
I want to see that episode.
Having the D&D episode is kind of a hot thing on lots of shows. Maybe
That's
we'll get
true.
One of those.
That is very true.
Be very exciting.
However, you need a really solid internet connection and a good computer, good fast computer, to be able to play that. And right now they don't even have good smartphones, if you
yeah.
notice.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi on the homestead, we're not really sure what the situation is.
Yep. So they'll do old school D&D then.
Tabletop style? Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to see Jeremy be a
Jeremy would be the dungeon master.
He would be the dungeon master for real. Yep.
Yeah.
And he would be like, he seems so nice. He would be a harsh ass dungeon master.
Now
I just want to put out there
Varun, if you're out there, mm-hmm. just come play D&D with us. We'd really,
yes.
really like it.
Standing invitation to come and play Dungeons and
well,
Dragons.
I mean,
with
if
us.
Any of them want to play right. D&D mm-hmm. with us,
we
have wouldn't say no.
Our minifigs are all made out of Lego people, so we mm-hmm. could, you know, create.
Erica's our usual DM, create. But she would relinquish that chair.
Oh, I would if somebody else wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The DM screen is handmade by Annette in the shape of a giant castle with
it has towers wings. In fact
with towers yep and it's magnetic on the inside, so you can hang up your stat sheets with magnets. It's the greatest. We also have yes. bottles of potions that are very pretty. It's a great, my house is a great place to play Dungeons and Dragons is what I'm saying. So
yes,
all right, this is our tangent for today, I think.
Yeah, we've gone
I'd
off on
so.
It's been proven how cool we are.
Yeah,
we super cool. are
as amazing. If that was ever in doubt.
No, right,
of course not.
Not at all. All right, so I am more stoked about the next episode than I have been all season long.
Yeah, I feel so. Like we're like went through like a deep low, mm-hmm. and now we're kind of cruising up into yeah. Hopefully a good finale. I fear that since we know there's a fourth season, they're just gonna put a really good cliffhanger on
yep.
it.
Yep,
well, of course they are.
Mm-hmm. So brace yourself, people.
Yeah, that's a very good call.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Plus, everyone's gonna die. Not everyone. I just feel like
your kill list.
I might have a kill list. I feel like some of these characters are going
to. And
that
actually
dead.
Has homework. We want her to write down her kill list.
Yeah, I'll tweet it out to
please,
prove
in red ink and like messy handwriting.
Yes,
in blood.
All right. Well, this has been great. I can't wait to watch The Vam for next week.
Yes,
and I can't wait to watch next week's episode. So, until next time,
lights out, bitch.